So beginning with chapter 7, text 27, Ichchadvesha samutena dvandvamohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sargayanti parandipa. O sign of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Prabhupada says in the purport, the real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifest in the desire of, in the duality of desire and hate. So as we were reading earlier, there's this yoga maya samavrataha, this curtain of maya which covers the living entity. And it's essentially the illusion that God is not here, present with us, that reality is something separate from God or different from God, that God is somehow either something distant, you know, far off, out in space, not present before us, or that there is no God. And so this illusion is necessary in order to try to enjoy the world. If we are conscious at every moment that Krishna is everywhere and all things, and that all things belong to him and are meant to be enjoyed by him, then it would be impossible to enjoy. It would be impossible to imitate him, essentially. So therefore, there's this curtain of illusion which is put before us, by which we cannot see God, and it allows us to pursue the fruitless endeavor to try to be God. Now, there's also the impersonal light. You may even transcend the material energy, but still the yoga maya samavrita, the curtain of yoga maya, is there in the form of the impersonal light, which is his bodily effulgence, and one cannot penetrate that without first receiving the blessings of the Supreme Lord. So now Prabhupada gets into this verse. It's a very powerful verse. He goes into more detail about how the living entity's vision is blocked by the Supreme Lord, or what is the very basis of this sort of illusion, this duality, this dvandva moha, this bewilderment by seeing everything. Instead of seeing everything as the Supreme Lord or as Brahman, rather one sees things in the duality of material nature. One sees things as good or bad for my sense gratification. One makes value judgments upon them. This is very good for my enjoyment. This is very bad for my enjoyment. So as soon as we look at the material world with a desire to enjoy, the desire to be the Lord and Master, then immediately we forget its true position as Krishna's energy meant for Krishna's enjoyment, and our vision becomes fractured. We begin to see things in duality. What is good for my sense gratification? What is bad for my sense gratification? What's going to give me so-called happiness? What's going to give me distress? So in this way, there is a duality which is inherent as soon as we drop down into material consciousness, as soon as we forget the position of the Supreme Lord. Now, what is the foundation of this duality? Where does it begin? What's its original cause? Ichchadvesha samutena. It's the desire and hatred. Prabhupada says here, due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the original core desire and hate that is at the foundation of our material conditioning. It's at the foundation of our illusion, the foundation of our duality in material existence. It's essentially that we desire to be God. We desire to either be the Supreme Lord and enjoy our master of material energy, or we desire to merge with the Supreme Lord and identify ourselves with him. That's the original desire. And then the original hatred is that we're envious towards the Supreme Lord. We're thinking, why does he get to be God? You know, I want to be God. Why does he get to be God? So that's the original duality. It's sort of our vision of Krishna. You know, instead of looking at Krishna in a mood of worship and affection and surrender, we look at him in a mood of, I want to take his position, and I'm upset. You know, why does he get to have that position? Why does he get to be God? Why do I have to be a jiva? Why do I have to stay in this position of being enjoyed? I want to try to be the enjoyer, and I can't stand the fact that he's the enjoyer. It's not fair. Right? So it's from this kind of way of this dropping down from the position of looking at Krishna properly as his servant, dropping down into this desire and hatred towards Krishna, that we enter into the material world and then experience reality as desire and hatred. As we endeavor to take his position, we see reality in terms of what's good and bad for my attempt to be Krishna. Prabhupada continues here, pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appeared by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. That is their misfortune. So again, from the previous verses, it's impossible. Vedaham Samatitani, right? Even though Krishna knows everyone and everything, no one knows him. He can look down upon a reality and see everything clearly, but when reality looks upon him, they see nothing. And the only persons that can see past that are those who are devoted, those who are surrendered, those who have the blessings of Krishna to see through that. And those who don't come up with all sorts of wild speculations, either impersonal Brahman or different ideas about who the Supreme Lord is. And this way they become abuddha and alpamedhasa and mudha. They become bewildered and foolish. Prabhupada says here, such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, quote unquote, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish, and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so the nature of this duality when we're in the material energy, again, is we see everything in terms of what's good and bad from our sense gratification. We make value judgments. That's one of the purposes of the mind, is to essentially accept and reject things. We encounter something in the material world, we grasp it with the senses, and the mind takes that, holds it up to the intelligence, which is the repository of all of our knowledge and our picture of reality, and passes a judgment on it. What is it? And then once the intelligence sees, oh, this is hot soup or something like that, whatever we're encountering, then the mind immediately accepts or rejects it. This is good for my sense gratification. This is bad for my sense gratification. So this is when we're laboring under the false ego, and we think we're the enjoyer of material existence. So because of this sort of acceptance and rejection of everything we come across in the light of our false ego, therefore we make all sorts of value judgments and categories essentially based on duality. This is my house. I am the husband of this wife. This is a woman. This is a man. This is happiness. This is pain. We see the material world from the perspective of the ego, and therefore it's sort of fractured into all these various dualities based upon the ego's desire to be satisfied. Whereas if we're able to transcend the ego, or rather come to the real ego, the real identity as Krishna's servant, then gradually we move out of this duality and we come to the point of seeing that everything is Krishna and everything is for Krishna's pleasure, everything is Krishna's energy. And that's essentially moving beyond duality. In fact, when one is in the higher state of consciousness, then one is simply seeing that everything in the world belongs to Krishna, it's for Krishna's pleasure, and whatever happens to one is Krishna's mercy. If it's something bad, so-called, that happens, then Krishna's arranged this for me in order to help me come closer to him. If something as good has happened, then Krishna's arranged this for me to help me come closer to him. One experiences all the dualities of nature not as sort of like the dark world of terror where one is immersed and forgetfulness of Krishna struggling and grappling and fighting and somehow or other trying to survive and squeeze some drop or two of enjoyment. Rather, one sees the material world as nothing but Krishna, and Krishna's hand is everywhere, acting behind everything. In a sense, oneself is also part and parcel of Krishna, aham brahmasmi. Everything is Brahman. So this is the Brahma-Bhuta stage, where one sees the true position of reality and the covering of illusion and duality is removed. And what is it that removes that duality? Well, you have to remove the core of the duality, the cause of the duality, which is the ichcha dvesha samutina, this desire to be God, and this frustration or unhappiness with Krishna in his position that he is God. And so what is that sort of envy that we have towards Krishna? Well, it's just like, for example, I mean, some people may be outwardly, openly atheistic, asuram bhava mashataha. They may be directly antagonistic to God. But most living entities, most human beings, are sort of like, you know, even if they believe in God, they're not, their relationship with God is very much one of sort of like, you know, they're not very happy. They're not really interested in God or willing to pay attention to God. Just like, for example, if you see someone walking down the road that you don't, you know, you don't really like very much, you tend to turn the other way. You tend to look the other way. You know, I don't really want anything to do with this person. Please don't look at me. Please don't talk to me. You know, I'm busy. Let me just pretend I don't see you. And this way, you know, you don't see me. We don't have to interact. It's not that I don't, it's not that I hate you or something. It's just that, you know, I don't really like you and I don't want to deal with you. So you'll see that many, many people have this sort of attitude towards the Supreme Lord. You know, I, you know, yeah, there's a God and everything, but I'd much rather just absorb in my own sense gratification, much rather absorb in trying to enjoy my life, because I can't, I don't really want to interact with him or see him or anything like that. Because when you do, that blows the whole attempt to try to be God. And so, therefore, it's very common that people try to ignore God. Otherwise, it's very hard to try to enjoy the material world. So there's this ichcha, this desire to enjoy, the desire to be the Lord and Master, and this dvesha, you're upset, or you don't, you know, you want to ignore Krishna, have nothing to do with him, because you're trying to be the Supreme Lord. So let's take a look at text 28. Yesham trantikatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandvohane mukta bhajante mam dridha vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Prabhupada says here, those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. But those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regular principles of religion, who have acted piously and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge. So the pure knowledge meaning the reality of Krishna, that everything is Krishna, there's nothing but Krishna. Right? All the material world, all the spiritual world, all the living entities, everything is Krishna's energy and everything is meant for his enjoyment. In reality, nothing exists but God. And so, you know, in knowing this, one is peaceful and one sees everything as God's mercy. And one is samobhutva, you know, one has this vision of equanimity. And therefore, one is satisfied and happy. One immerses one's mind in Krishna, hearing and chanting about Krishna and tasting the pleasure of serving Krishna. Completely spiritual. Whereas for those who are trapped in duality, you're again struggling to try to enjoy this world and, you know, therefore experiencing all the frustrations and difficulties. And you cannot come to that stage of pure vision, pure Brahman vision, of Krishna vision, unless you're sufficiently purified. Prabhupada mentions here that you have to practice the regulative principles of religion. So, yesham trantikatam papam, you have to come to the end of all sin. It's like mentioned by in the Nectar of Devotion, the kutam bijam papam aparabdha parabdha karma, the different sins that are within the heart. By the process of devotional service, you purify that. And when that's completely pure, then and jananam punya karmanam, that's sort of the positive side, you've engaged yourself in punya karma, or pious activities, which here refers to devotional service. They engage themselves in my service. So by simultaneously doing service for Krishna and in the process becoming purified of sin, you gradually become qualified. Otherwise, that yoga maya samavrata, that curtain of yoga maya, is there and you can't see past it. You're blocked by your own ignorance. So you have to push through this particular curtain by practice of devotional service, developing the qualification. And then when you're sufficiently purified, then bhajante mam dridhavrat, then you're able to worship the Supreme Lord in a fixed way, dridhavrat, with firm determination, just like the stage of bhakti known as nishtha. Before this, you know, we may worship Krishna, but we're still struggling with the cycle of sins in the heart. This is called anartha nivritti. We're purifying the anarthas. Before we come to the stage of nishtha, it's very difficult to be fixed. Our spiritual life is like a roller coaster ride. Some days we want to do devotional service, some days we don't. Some months we want to do devotional service, some months we don't. We go up and down in our determination, because we're still filled with sinful desires and a sinful nature. And therefore, it's a very rocky road. But once you're purified, then it becomes very easy. You become steady and situated naturally in Krishna consciousness. And again, that comes through bhajana kriya, through worshipping Krishna under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, associating with devotees, hearing and chanting, etc., doing service. And then gradually, as the heart becomes purified, as you're engaging in devotional service, then you're able to fix the mind on Krishna, right? When we're in the lower stage of devotional service, the neophyte stage, it's very difficult to think of Krishna and fix the mind on Krishna. We're very easily distracted because we're filled with desires. They may be pious desires, they may be impious desires, but they're not devotional desires. And therefore, we become, you know, that's why it's a rocky road, because you're filled with all sorts of conflicting desires, which are unwanted things. And that's what anartha means. Prabhupada continues here, then gradually they can meditate in trance upon the Supreme Person of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform, this elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness and the association of pure devotees. From the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. So gradually you're able to fix the mind more and more on Krishna and enter into unbroken meditation upon Krishna, where you're constantly thinking of him and his pastimes, and rendering service to him and preaching Krishna consciousness. And when you're on that stage, then you're completely free from delusion. And this whole process depends upon the association of devotees. From the beginning, from Shraddha, it depends upon the Ajnata Sukriti, being engaged in devotional service, even unknowingly, by a devotee. And as you move throughout the various stages, moving towards pure devotional service, the mercy of a devotee is required at every stage. So let's continue to text 29. Jara marana mokshaya mam ashtabhitya yatandiye te brahmatad vidu kritsnam adhyatma karma chakalam. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. So in this particular verse and in the next one, Krishna introduces a new concept, which is the Yoga Mishra Bhakta. Just like we heard about the previous Sakama devotees, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam Jina Sukritna Arjuna, there's the Arta, Artarti, Jigyasu, and the Jnani, right? There's the one who's after material wealth, the one who's trying to relieve suffering, and the one who's inquisitive about reality. And then there's the liberated one in knowledge who finally comes to the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme. So these different individuals, they're all more or less motivated by a selfish desire, and they become purified and have the opportunity to engage in pure devotional service. Whereas here we find a fifth type of devotee, jara marana mokshaya mam ashritya yatantiye. So they desire liberation from old age and death. This is the individual who wants to be liberated, moksha kami. They're desiring to leave the material world behind. And therefore, mam ashritya, they take shelter of Krishna. So, this is very important. They engage in devotional service. And then, because of that, how do they know Krishna? Te brahma, tad vidu kritsnam. They know completely what is Brahman, adhyatma, and karma, right? They know Krishna and all of his various manifestations, his relationship to the material world, and they understand his energies and how they work. They understand what is karma, right? They understand everything about Brahman. And Krishna's introducing six different concepts here that this devotee understands in full. There's Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, and in the next verse, Krishna mentions the Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Adiyagya. And that this individual understands that Krishna is he's the origin of all these things. So in the next chapter, of course, Arjuna asks, what are these six things? Kim tad brahma, kim adhyatmam, kim karma, right? Please explain these different terms you've mentioned. You've mentioned that the devotee knows you as these six things or understands these six things in full. So what are they? And can you please go into detail? And that's really how the next chapter begins. Also, Krishna mentions prayane kale pichamam te vidur yukta chetasaha. So those who have their mind on Krishna, they think of Krishna at the time of death and thus attain him. And then also Arjuna asks, you know, well, how do they do that? So it's these two verses which prompt the next chapter. So how do they do that? What do they do? And Krishna will, in the next chapter, he'll talk about the importance of remembering him at the time of death. It is a law within yoga that whatever you remember at the time of death, you attain. More or less your mind, its condition at the time of death, it forms a pathway into your next life and drives you into the body, which is most appropriate for your last thoughts. If you're thinking of, you know, Lord Ganesh, then you'll go to Ganesh's abode. If you're thinking of enjoying in this earthly realm and you have the prerequisite piety, then you'll be born in a body which is appropriate and sort of fits around those desires. You'll get a body which is a reflection of the subtle body that you have, meaning the desires as well as your karma, you know, your qualification through good and bad karma. So the yogis then try to utilize this process for remembrance of the time of death to remember the Supreme Lord. And for the yoga Mishra Bhakta, which is the devotee that will be described, he desires very strongly to remember Krishna at the time of death, and therefore he mixes his bhakti practice with certain practices of yoga, or similar to Ashtanga Yoga, Prabhupada calls it Chakra Yoga, which is controlling the life airs, putting the life, you know, meditating and focusing the life airs on a certain part of the subtle body, and essentially preparing the soul to exit the material body at the time of death through the crown chakra while meditating, you know, chanting Om and meditating on the Supreme Lord. And then the yogi also times this at a certain time period within material nature when certain things line up. And there is certain, it's almost like, this will be discussed towards the end of the chapter, but basically the yogi carefully times with various cosmological principles at certain periods of time an opening occurs, sort of like a portal, and the various gods associated with their various levels of reality will pass one upward through this portal towards Brahman, or towards the Pitri Loka if one is after material enjoyment. So the yogi then takes advantage of these cosmic timing as well as the process of meditation and mixes it with his devotional service in order to leave his body and go back to Godhead. The pure devotee, or, you know, the Vaishnava, especially in our line, we don't really worry about all this type of stuff. We just take shelter in Krishna, try to serve Krishna, and just depend fully upon him as far as the timing of our death. Prabhupada says here in the, let's take a look at text 30. Sadi bhutadi dhaivam mam sadi yakshnam chiyevadu prayanakalipi cha mam te vidur yukta chetasaha. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation, of the demigods, and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. So this is how this yogi, who meditates on Krishna and goes back to Godhead, he understands that Krishna is the Adibhuta, that he is the governing principle of material manifestation. The material world is resting upon him, everything's moving upon him, he is the Adi Daiva, meaning all the demigods are nothing but his powers, his principles. Everything is his power, which we heard about earlier in the chapter. And then the Adi Yajna, which is the governing principle of all sacrifice. And he's the supersoul within the heart of all living entities. And by remembering Krishna in this way at the time of death, one goes to him. Prabhupada says, your persons acting in Krishna consciousness have never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness. One can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at the time of death, such a Krishna conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. And for the last two paragraphs here, Prabhupada basically summarizes this chapter. Let's just look at the last paragraph. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatman, liberation from birth, death, and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in devotional service. Okay, so I believe what Prabhupada's referring to here is what we just mentioned about, you know, the devotee doesn't care about all the things that are like the timing of the passing of the body, and using various yogic practices to somehow or other focus the mind at the time of death. Rather, the devotee just worships Krishna, falls in love with Krishna, absorbs in Krishna, and trusts in Krishna. So he's convinced that by doing so, all his objectives will be fulfilled. So that's actually the definition of faith. Sarva karma kritahai. If I just serve Krishna, then everything will be perfect, right? I won't have any needs. Everything will be satisfied by simply worshipping and pleasing Krishna. This determined faith is called Dridhavrata. It is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental living service. That is the verdict of all scriptures. The seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports the seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and the matter of the knowledge of the Absolute. Thank you very much.